Chapter 3
Monday morning came sooner than I was prepared for, and as the sun filtered in through my bedroom window, I groaned at my misfortune. I was used to rising early from my years in the wilds, but all I wanted to do was spend the day in bed with my wife. Nia stirred beside me, and I took care to slowly ease myself out of the massive bed so I didn't disturb her sleep. My wife was curled up in the bedsheets completely naked, and I took a moment to admire the sensational curves of her bare and perfect ass before I headed upstairs to shower. The third-floor bathroom was enormous and opulent, with white marbled flooring, a pool-sized bath with an indented bottom for seating, multiple countertops and sinks, and a white marble shower large enough to hold at least 6 people. To top it all off, a crystal chandelier glittered from the ceiling and reflected off the wall-length mirrors. I smiled at my luxurious surroundings, and then I turned on the shower and let it run for a moment before I stepped in. Then I stood under the steaming water, scrubbed away sleep and the scent of sex from the night before, and attempted to give myself a pep talk. This was going to be my first full week of teaching the first-year summoning class, and I was definitely a little nervous. I'd recently taken over a teaching position from my former summoning teacher, Rory Brevins, who'd left the academy to pursue a better career opportunity. After witnessing a mostly staged duel between the drunken professor and me, Headmaster Sleet had offered me the position in Mr. Brevins' stead, and just last week, I'd taught my first classes. The lessons hadn't gone entirely to plan, though. I had 4 first-year students in my class, and while 2 of the students were eager to become skilled summoners, the other 2 first years seemed apprehensive. Sarah certainly hadn't helped the situation either. I'd summoned the Arkan to prove to the students that the monster goddesses existed, but Sarah had gone a little overboard in her attempt to scare the students and mark me as her territory. Today, I hoped to break down their walls a little further and really get to know my students better. I wanted to be a greater instructor than my predecessor and actually earn the trust of the first years, so hopefully one day the academy could provide a stronger curriculum for its summoners. After all, that was the entire reason Headmaster Sleet had brought me to Varlay in the first place, and I wanted to prove to the powerful Storm Mage I could handle the task.
"You've got this, Griff," I said aloud. "Sleet believes in you. Nia believes in you. Why can't you just believe in yourself? Besides, they're just a bunch of first years. All of this is too simple to really mess up anyways."
"That's the spirit."
I jumped in surprise when I realized I hadn't been alone in the room. And then I turned off the shower and stepped out to see Nia leaning in the doorway. She was already dressed for the day, and outfitted in the gold-trimmed golden robes that marked her as a multi-elementalist. Her long silver-white hair was pulled back into an orderly braid, and her eyes were clear and bright.
"Maker, you scared me," I admitted with a laugh.
"Sorry,"
Nia apologized, but her blue eyes were anything but apologetic as they swept over my wet body.
"See something you like?" I winked.
"All of you,"
Nia purred, and my wife gave me a dazzling smile that could melt steel. "I was trying to be quiet so you could get some sleep." I apologized and picked up the towel I'd left outside of the shower and began to dry myself off while Nia continued to eye me.
"You're about as quiet as Layla when she finds a leftover piece of cake,"
she laughed, but she shrugged me off with a wave of her hand.
"I appreciate it, though. That was very thoughtful of you."
"You know me. I'm just a thoughtful guy."
"Okay, yokel. That's enough."
"Hey, this yokel is your husband now,"
I reminded her as I walked over and planted a kiss on her full lips.
"Husband,"
Nia lilted.
"I'll never stop loving the sound of that."
"And if I'm your husband," I grinned, "that officially makes you Mrs. Yokel."
"Ugh, I take it back,"
Nia replied with a scrunch of her delicate nose.
"I hate the sound."
"It's too late," I teased. "I'm all yours, Lady Kennefic."
With that, we exited the bathroom and made our way back down to my second-floor bedroom, where Nia sat down on the freshly made bed and studied me as I dressed for the day.
"Admittedly, it feels a little weird to hear my surname now that we're married."
Nia frowned as I pulled on my Navy Summoner's trousers. "Will you keep your last name?" I wondered. "Don't married women usually take their husbands' surnames?"
"Not always. And besides, it's not like I can really take yours,"
Nia snorted.
"Mrs. Griff of Neorden Falls in Hawkland doesn't quite flow off the tongue."
I opened my mouth, prepared to correct her and say my family name was apparently Porter, but I stopped myself before the words could reach my tongue. Nia still wasn't privy to the information I'd discovered in the researcher's office, and until Arwen and I had a chance to speak on the matter, I wasn't ready yet to share my findings with my wife. 2 days had passed since Arwen and Ashla left on their secret mission for Headmaster Sleet, and I'd been obsessing over every moment they were gone. "Guess you'll just have to settle on Lady Kennefic Yokel," I teased, which earned me a playful slap on the arm from Nia.
"You're awfully full of yourself this morning," my ashen-haired wife laughed. "But we need to get a move on, or you'll be late for your lesson. You can't keep your students waiting."
She was right. The sun had risen higher in the sky, which meant I'd spent too long in the shower. So I finished dressing, fastened my bandolier, and grabbed my satchel of books and various school supplies. I thanked the Maker I'd had the sense to pack everything up the night before, and as we prepared to leave, a thought crossed my mind. "Should we check in on Freya?" I wondered as we left my bedroom, and I glanced up at the staircase. My pregnant hawk wife had been up half the evening getting sick, and finally settled down with Syra after a long soak in the hot springs. On top of everything else going on in my life, I was worried for Freya and our child. Though the pregnancy was still in the early stages, Freya didn't seem to be faring well, and I hoped that didn't signal more problems to come. Nia could sense my distress and pulled me in for an embrace.
"Syra's still with her. It's probably best to let her get some rest."
As much as I wanted to make sure Freya was okay, I knew Nia was right. Freya could use all of the sleep she could get, and I could come and visit her once classes had finished for the day. So, with one last glance upstairs and our supplies in hand, Nia and I headed downstairs and out the door. But as we walked up the hill outside the house, we heard a voice behind us.
"Hey, wait up!"
We turned around to see Erin behind us, and she was out of breath from chasing after us.
"Forget about me,"
Erin joked as she reached us.
"We didn't know if you were up yet,"
Nia laughed.
"We were trying not to make too much noise so Freya could catch up on her sleep."
"Where are Layla and Syra?" I asked Erin, and the orange-haired mimic shrugged.
"Last I checked, Layla was taking a shower, and I haven't seen Syra this morning. She might still be in with Freya."
"Should we go back and check on them?" I wondered, but Nia shook her head.
"We have to get you to class, Griff,"
she reminded me.
"Layla and Syra are adults. They'll get themselves to school."
While I wanted to argue the point, Nia was right. If we didn't hustle, I was going to be late. So the three of us continued on our trek to the academy. The morning air was crisp, and I inhaled it deeply as we walked up the hill. The breeze was a little brisk, but the cold fall air felt nice against my skin. We reached the academy grounds in record time, and Nia and I parted with a passionate kiss. "See you at lunch?" I asked, and the elementalist nodded vigorously before she disappeared down the corridor. Then Erin gave me a quick hug before she headed in the opposite direction.
"See you later, Griff,"
the amber-eyed pilot said before she took off across the lawn. I readjusted my satchel on my shoulder and braced myself for class. And when I entered the classroom, I was pleasantly surprised to see all of my students already seated at their desks. "Well, good morning, everyone," I greeted with a smile.
"Hi, Professor Griff,"
Tarawin replied.
"Congratulations on your wedding. The ceremony was so beautiful."
"Thank you, Tarawin," I said earnestly. And I gave the square-jawed girl a smile as I set my bag onto my desk and started emptying the contents.
Yeah, congratulations, Professor Griff,
Artie said, and his green eyes were intense as ever as he offered me a smile.
Thanks, Artie. I appreciate it, I replied, and the young summoner's face lit up.
Artie was my most enthusiastic student, and one of my biggest fans. He'd been born and raised in Raylor's stead, and he was there the day I took on the giant. He said the battle and my unorthodox method of fighting was what made him finally speak up to his family about his magic. Darius and Simon, my other two students, remained silent at their desks, which didn't surprise me in the least. Darius was an arrogant boy with a hefty family name, much like my friend Gawain, and I hoped I could find some way to connect with, if not humble him, as I had the Fire Mage. Simon was a bit of a mystery to me. He was a scrawny boy, maybe a few years younger than me, and he was usually quiet and stoic, but I had a feeling there was more to the summoner than he let on. Once my supplies were in place, I leaned against the desk and took a deep breath before I gave the class my most professional expression. So, before we get too far into today's lesson, I want to try something a little different to get to know you guys a little bit more, I began. We talked a bit last week about where you came from and such. Today, why don't we go around the room and share an interesting fact about ourselves?
Ugh, even worse than our time with the substitute, Darius groaned.
I clenched my jaw before I could say something inappropriate, and then I had a brilliant idea.
Okay, Darius, since you're so keen on speaking today, why don't you go first?
I smiled sweetly at the pudgy summoner, and the boy rolled his dark eyes at me.
I'm a Silvermane, Darius scoffed as he jutted his chin out proudly. My surname practically speaks for itself.
So there isn't anything else you'd care to mention? I inquired with an arched eyebrow. No hobbies? Outside interests?
Nope,
Darius sneered as he leaned back in his seat.
There has to be something, I pressed.
He hummed, but then his eyes lit up as his sneer deepened.
All right, you want a fun fact? I still don't think you're qualified to teach this class. And after your weird demonstration with the Arkans last class...
Shall I destroy this annoying mortal for you, Master?
Sarah's voice purred in my head, and I slammed my mental wards back into place before the Dark Goddess could say anything else. I pinched the bridge of my nose tightly between my fingers. I clearly wasn't going to get anywhere with the haughty summoner, so I turned my attention to the rest of the class.
Moving on. What about you, Tarawin? What's a fun fact about you?
Tarawin pondered with a twirl of her thick, dark braids.
Well, it's not fun exactly, but I have an identical twin sister.
Hey, that's pretty neat, I said with an encouraging smile.
Does she attend the academy as well?
No,
Tarawin replied, and she sadly shook her head.
She's never shown an aptitude for magic, though when we were younger, we played tricks on our mother. We used to switch places for weeks on end without her even noticing.
Artie and I laughed at that, and even Simon smirked, but Darius remained aloof and unaffected, as if he was too good to participate. I was going to have my work cut out for me with that one.
All right, Artie, you're up, I announced.
Artie straightened up in his seat, and the first year ran a hand through his short red curls before he proceeded.
I can play the fiddle, he said. My aunt and uncle taught me as a kid.
That's really interesting, I smiled. I can't play any instruments myself, but I admire people who have the talent for it.
Darius let out a sigh.
This is all so juvenile. What does this have to do with summoning?
I ignored him and looked to my last student. Simon had been quiet this entire time, and like Darius, he didn't seem willing to participate in team bonding exercises.
There isn't much to tell,
Simon muttered without prompting, and the mousy-haired boy kept his eyes level with the floor as he spoke.
I'm not some kind of superhero. I don't have any special skills or a cool sibling. I don't even have a surname. At least, not anymore. Everything you need to know about me is pretty surface level.
Everyone's eyes looked to the summoner, and Simon's weary expression grew deeper as he realized he was being stared at. He fidgeted with the two large sleeves of his navy blue summoner's robe, and after an awkward moment of pause, Tarawin cut the silence with a delicate clearing of her throat.
Professor Griff, maybe we could go ahead and start on today's lesson?
She asked pleasantly. I admired the girl's attempt to move attention away from Simon, and I made note of her kindness. She was a caring soul, so maybe she could help me break Simon out of his shell and help me tame Darius's ego. Monsters and Arkans were one thing, but arrogant first years was a whole other matter. Of course, I said. Let's head over to the training arena. I ushered the students to the larger back portion of the building and squinted from the sunlight that streamed through the long windows. The arena was outfitted like a faux forest, complete with rocky terrain and fake trees that rose from a large mound of grass and dirt. The white gold walls were thick and constructed from impenetrable Xanyar stone, which made it an ideal place to practice summoning monsters. Today we're going to start with the basics, I began, and I reached into my bandolier, retrieved my essence crystals, and summoned a few of my monsters in rapid succession. A Daggerdillo, a Speed Slug, a pair of Wallardens, and my trusty Bullet Bass. My monsters manifested into the arena, and the students all looked around at each other in confusion.
What in the Maker's name are we supposed to do with those?
Darius groaned. Learn to fight, of course, I said.
Fight? With grade E monsters?
He sniffed.
You have to be joking.
I know, it sounds crazy.
No offense, Professor Griff, but there's a big difference between crazy and impossible,
Darius interrupted.
Grade E monsters are intended for construction and support, not war. How could a Walladin or a Cement Troll defeat something like a Belial?
They couldn't, I agreed. At least not on their own. But you'd be surprised at what Grade E monsters can accomplish when you use them together. That's how I defeated the Cyclops in Raylor's stead. I combined the skills of a few different monsters and used them to my advantage.
You can do that?
Tarawin wondered, and her voice was soft and full of awe. Yes, I nodded vigorously. I looked to my summons and silently issued my commands. I sent the Daggerdillo over to one of the trees in the far corner of the room, and then with the wave of my will, the armored monster took off at a reasonable pace. Now, the Daggerdillo on its own is decently quick, I remarked, but it can be a lot faster. I commanded the Daggerdillo to return to my side, and the monster obliged. Then I picked up one of my Speed Slug crystals and threw it forcefully onto the ground, and with no verbal prompting, the Speed Slug attached itself to the Daggerdillo. I then commanded the newly equipped spiky monster to charge across the room, and the Daggerdillo tore off like lightning. See how much faster it goes? I questioned. A Speed Slug can really make a huge impact on your other summons. Don't underestimate its power just because it's a grade E. My students nodded their heads and watched the Daggerdillo zoom around the arena, and after it ran a few speed-enhanced laps, I commanded it to stop and returned the monsters to their essence crystals. Now, I want you to summon a couple of monsters and try out some of these combinations for yourselves. Tarawin, how about we start with you? I gestured at the space in front of me, and Tarawin happily approached it. Then she reached into a small pouch at her waist and retrieved two essence crystals, and I recognized one as a Wallardin and the other as a Bullet Bass. Now, I want you to summon your Wallardin, and once it's manifested, throw out the Bullet Bass and the Speed Slug's essence crystals, I instructed. As you're throwing them, command them to attach to your Wallardin.
What will that do?
Why don't you try and find out? I grinned. Tarawin gulped, and then took a deep breath before throwing the essence crystals onto the ground. Her Wallardin appeared with a poof of smoke, and Tarawin eyed it timidly. Now, go ahead and attach the Speed Slug and the Bullet Bass, I urged. Tarawin threw the other crystals down, and her other summons appeared just as the Wallardin did. She took a deep breath, But nothing happened, and I watched the girl's forehead grow slick with sweat from the effort of commanding our monsters.
"Focus, Tarawin," I murmured.
"Okay,"
the summoner panted as she glared daggers at the Wallerdin, but the wide monster remained unchanged, and the Bullibass flopped pathetically on the ground. I frowned in contemplation. Why hadn't she commanded them mid-summons like I'd instructed?
"Professor Griff,"
she called out.
"This isn't working."
"It will," I assured her.
"But..."
"You aren't trying hard enough."
"I'm doing the best I can,"
Tarawin exclaimed, and I immediately regretted my choice of words when I saw the look of disappointment on her face. "I'm sorry," I apologized quickly. "I didn't mean to say it that way."
It's okay,"
Tarawin sniffed.
I think I've had enough for today."
"Way to go, Teach,"
Darius snorted as Tarawin recalled her monsters back into their essence crystals.
"That's enough, Darius," I growled as I whirled on the pudgy boy. "If you're so cocky over there, why don't you demonstrate an attack for yourself?"
"I've already told you, this is impossible."
"But it isn't,"
I argued.
"I get you're some big-time summoner," the boy drawled. "But have you ever considered that maybe you're only as good as you are because you have an advantage?"
"An advantage?" I scoffed. "The only thing I have over the rest of you is experience."
"Huh,"
Darius smirked.
"Interesting take, Professor. But the last time I checked, none of the rest of us have Arkans in our heads to help us out."
"Back off, Darius,"
Artie hissed.
"Yeah, knock it off,"
Simon muttered with his eyes on the floor in front of him and his arms crossed against his chest.
"Oh, the mouse boy speaks,"
Darius sneered.
"And besides, Professor Griff didn't have the Arkans where the rift opened up in Raylor's stead,"
Artie pointed out.
"He used his own monsters. I saw it firsthand." "We get it, Cantorwall. You're enamored,"
Darius said with a roll of his eyes.
"Sorry if I don't share the same love for our professor as you do."
Simon looked over at Darius with venom in his eyes. If the scrawny summoner had been an Arachnus, Darius would have been paralyzed on the spot.
"Shut up!"
Simon spat.
"We've heard enough from you, rich boy. If you were so important and interesting to your family, do you think you'd be stuck here with the rest of us? Face the facts. You aren't any more special than the rest of us."
"Stuck?"
Darius laughed.
"This is a military academy, you mouse. I'm not stuck here. I came here to learn. And right now, we aren't learning anything from this summoner."
Simon opened his mouth to speak, but I cut him off before he could say a word.
"That's enough for today," I grunted. "Class is dismissed."
Tarawin, Darius, and Simon didn't have to be told twice. The students went to retrieve their school bags from the classroom, but Artie lingered in the arena. His deep green eyes were hesitant, as if there was something on his mind.
"Everything all right, Artie?"
I asked, and I waved the red-haired summoner over to me. Artie approached me with his hands in the pockets of his blue trousers.
"Everything's fine, Professor. I wanted to apologize. I didn't mean to raise my voice."
The young summoner's head dropped in disappointment, as if he were ashamed.
"It's okay," I assured him. "Thank you for standing up for Simon."
"Someone has to,"
the boy sighed.
"And besides, he's my roommate. What kind of a friend would I be if I let that bully pick on him?"
"You and Simon are roommates?" I asked.
"Yep,"
Artie smiled.
"We aren't very close, but I'm working on it."
"Keep after it.
Simon has a lot of potential," I noted, and I admired the boy's determination to make others feel welcome. "And you do too. I know these combination attacks seem a little confusing, but I know you guys can figure it out. Make sure you practice before our next class."
"I will,"
Artie promised.
"Thank you, Professor."
I gave the red-haired summoner a pat on the back, and Artie left the arena with a grin on his face. Despite the pleasant interaction, though, it took all of my willpower to keep from collapsing onto the floor. That lesson had been an absolute disaster. I'd struggled to teach my students how to use the most basic battle moves I'd mastered years ago. I'd lost Tarawin's trust with my outburst. Darius hated me even more than he did before. And Simon?
Those children are vile,
Sarah's voice whispered in my head.
They don't appreciate a true master when they see one.
Stop it, I warned as I tried to subdue the Arkan, but my mental wards were feeling rather weak.
As much as I don't like to agree with my sister, she's right.
Fi spoke up in a childish tone.
Those little brats don't deserve you.
They aren't brats, I growled. They're just beginners. Everyone has to start somewhere.
Beginner or not, you shouldn't allow them to speak to you that way,
Utuni added.
You are much too powerful for them to disrespect you.
You guys are really laying it on thick today, I grumbled, and I tightened my bandolier before I headed back into the classroom to gather my things. History would be starting soon, and I needed to head across campus if I were going to make it in time.
Is our company not good enough for you, Master?
Fi sniffed.
It certainly used to be enough,
Sarah snapped.
Before there were so many of us for our master to choose from.
I told you all, the choice is yours, I groaned. You all just need to agree.
You know, that small boy from earlier looks familiar somehow,
Fi mused.
He does, doesn't he?
Sarah agreed. Simon? I asked, and I was surprised by the change in subject.
Yes, the skinny kid. There's something about him. He does look kind of like Bray?
Viopa asked with a dark laugh. The other Arkans joined in her laughter, and the sound was unsettling. Don't talk about him like that, I growled, and the laughter stopped.
Sorry, Master,
Viopa murmured.
We just love you so much,
Miralee added.
We think everyone else should as well. My child would never speak to you that way,
Sarah boasted, and I groaned in response. I'm not really in the mood to talk about babies today.
Okay, we promise to be good,
Fi vowed.
Speak for yourself,
Viopa murmured.
I'd like to be bad. I miss you, Master. You haven't touched us in so long,
Utuni added.
Why don't you summon us and let us ease your stress?
Sarah suggested.
Yes, please, Master. Summon us. And then you can fill us with your hot, delicious seed.
All right, we're done here, I interrupted, and I focused intensely on shutting out the Arkans.
Have we upset you, Master?
Fi pleaded.
Please, don't!
She fell silent as the mental ward slammed back into place, and I waited for a moment to make sure my endeavors had been successful. Once I was certain, I leaned back in my chair. Maker, I was drained. What was going on with the Arkans? And why did they feel so out of my control? My thoughts were interrupted by the bell, and I gathered my things and hustled out of the classroom.